I went went Friday, came back Monday morning.
Friday, and you, how much did you write in that weekend?
I wrote 16,000 that weekend.
So, we'll just for argument's sake, we'll just take the 16 out for now. So 62,000 you did in Dallas.
Correct.
And you roughly get between 5 to 8 leads a week. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
You get roughly about 5 to 8 leads a week,
correct.
Or is that about
that's
right?
About 8 leads a week.
Whew. Well, I'm getting some questions already, so I want to get right to them. And Wednesday, I'll introduce you proper when we start talking about you. Chris came in the sales meeting yesterday, and those who don't know Chris, he's what a lot of people do is use all kinds of excuses for why they're not succeeding, and he has taken to heart exactly what Philip Hutchins has said, and he uses those excuses as reasons and is succeeding for those reasons. Instead of making them reasons why he can't do it, he's using them as reasons why he can. And so I don't want to get too much into Chris's personal story. I don't want to, you know, put him on the spot like that. But, guys, here's a guy who has every potential excuse under the sun, but chooses. It's his choice. He chooses not to use them. He chooses instead to go out and make sales and take care of people's families and on and on. We've had Chris on this call before, and if you've missed that call, I believe we have him recorded. So you can let your manager know, let our office know that you need a Chris White tape. So we're gonna try not to duplicate too much of that today. But some questions that have come in, and I won't ever say the agent's name. So I won't. If you've got an embarrassing question that you think maybe is a stupid question to ask, guys, don't hesitate to email me that question, because there's other people that are thinking that question. I guarantee you. The only stupid question, in my opinion, I used to joke around and say there's no stupid questions, only stupid people, and that probably alienated a couple people. So I don't say that as much anymore. The only stupid question is the one that's not asked, in my opinion. So don't hesitate to send us what you may deem as a stupid question, because, in fact, it may be a great question that other people are thinking, and I'm not going to call your name out, so I won't embarrass you if it is a dumb question. So it may help somebody. But the first question I have, Chris, you told us yesterday in sales meeting, and you've told us before, that you pass out flyers.
Correct.
Now, there are obviously some new folks on this call that probably didn't hear that before. Tell us a little bit about passing out flyers, the neighborhoods that you choose to do that. Where do you get the flyers, on and on?
The flyers we get for free off of the sales link.
Now, is this an actual marketing piece, or is it one of those little trifolds?
It's one of those trifolds.
Okay.
It's not a flyer that gives any, you know, pricing information. It just basically tells about HomeCert. I don't want to give them too much information because they wouldn't need to call me if I did.
Sure.
But it tells a little bit about Old Mutual and Fidelity. It tells about HomeCert, and it's free. They're off of the web page, and I just go to neighborhoods that are around a year old, and then I just start passing them out. I mean, if I happen to see someone outside and they're talking to me, I do. Of course I talk to them, but I don't knock on the doors. I just put them on the doors.
Okay. So let me ask this dumb question, because I'll be the first to ask the stupid question. How do you know a neighborhood's about a year old?
Because they're still building.
Okay.
There's still some houses being built.
Okay.
Now, if it's just a brand new neighborhood and there's only a couple of houses there, you can go put some on the doors, but most likely no one even lives in the neighborhood. So that's why I try to go about a year old, because there's still going to be some houses being built, and there's still going to be a model home normally in the neighborhood.
Okay. And my dad always, when we would ride together on the interstate, he'd say, "Hey, what'd that billboard just say?" It was, I mean, he was, I'd go, "I don't know." He'd say, "Well, you should pay attention." And it's just one of those things. You know, there's some obvious things that you know about what sort of makes an area, you can tell it's a year old. But at the same time, if you guys, pay attention when you're driving around and where you live, if you go out and exercise, you walk around your neighborhoods, you whatever you do, you can start paying attention to the little telltale signs of areas that are new developments versus those who are, you know, 20 or 30 years established. And so the question I had is, F&G only allows us to order 25 of HomeCertain brochures at a time. So how many do you pass out? Do you know a way of getting more? How do you do that?
Well, I every time I get them, I just keep ordering them, and I just keep stocking up on them. But also, Joanne has ordered some for me. You know, whenever I get them in, I order them, and they've in the past. You know, I don't know if Joanne can order more because I got when they ordered me some, I thought when I ordered them, they used to let me order 50. Now, recently, they only let me order 25.
Huh.
And I thought that was just because I was ordering so many.
I think they've reduced the number. They don't want people just, you know, getting them and trashing them because they are for fun.
Right. Sure.
But you know, that may be a good way of sort of pacing yourself or setting yourself up a guideline of how many to pass out at a time. You order 25, they come in. When they come in, go on SalesLink, order 25 more. But now you've got 25, go pass them out. They're burning a hole in your pocket.
Right.
I remember Andy Albright and I used to own a coupon book business together, and we would just keep coupon books in our car, where if we had 5 minutes, we were going to try to pop into a mall or a neighborhood or something and just try to sell some books real quick because they're sitting there. If they're just sitting there, they're not making any money. But if we're out there passing them out and getting money for them, man, they're making money for us. So it's the same idea. It's got to burn a hole in your pocket. As soon as you get them, go pass them out. And you said yesterday you do put your business card on, but you don't staple it on there?
No, you can at Office Depot or any of those stores. They make these. It's like a tape that you put on the back of it, and you just tape it on there.
Okay.
I just think it looks more professional than a staple in the middle of it.
Sure.
But, you know, it's nothing against either way. As long as your business cards are there.
Right.
Without your business cards, you waste your time.
And you expect what kind of return on doing that sort of brochure passing out?
1-3%, which sounds, doesn't sound very good. But when you're passing out, you know, 200-300 a week,
right,
you get 1-3%.
Right.
That's great. I mean, that's going to give you, you know, $5,000 a month.
Yeah, it just adds up.
For you know, and that's leads you didn't pay for, and every sale you have, you get leads, you get referrals. I mean,
sure.
So you're getting free business there that you didn't have to pay for a lead, and you're gonna get a referral off of it if you ask for it. I mean, I made a sale last night. I got 3 referrals.
Sure.
I mean, it's just we can market. We've got a great product. We've got a great support system around us. You know, we can, I mean, it's, I still understand. I mean, it's just, doesn't seem fair. It's so easy.
I'm going to get to that referral, point in just a second. Crap, question right. The 1-3% that you're seeing on passing out these brochures, it's, by the way, the same result that you expect on a direct mail campaign. And actually, a 1% return on direct mail campaign is phenomenal. So there are folks on this phone who, if I know, talked to me and said, "Hey, Fitz, can we mail this city? Can we mail this?" I'm seeing houses pop up everywhere. Well, from a direct mail campaign, from NAA's perspective, if an area, and I've had this asked for San Angelo, Texas, if San Angelo has gotten all kinds of developments popping up, well, that may be 100 loans a week that are closing. 100 loans a week, when you expect a 1-3% return, let's say it's 3%, that means you're going to get 3 leads a week. You know, that's not enough for us to, you know, grow an agency around and have multiple agents in that area. But you take Chris's idea, go take some brochures, you know, while you're bebopping around town, just, you know, ooh, I got 10 minutes. Let me go pass out these brochures real quick. Boom, you could get that same 3% return. It's not cost the money from NAA's perspective. It's not cost the money that direct mail has cost, yet at the same time you get a good return, and that's free money to go make sales with.
Something else that I personally think it does is when you're putting them on doors and people's minds are thinking, you know what, this agent, they're in our neighborhood, they're in our area. This is not some place from, you know, 100 or, you know, another state sending us this. This is somewhere in our area that if we need them, they're going to be there.
Yeah. If somebody, I mean, now all of a sudden, they may not have seen you put that flyer on the door, but what they have done is they've pictured psychologically, you know, subconsciously, they've pictured you and living in their neighborhood. You could be their neighbor. You could be the guy that's walking his kids down the street or, you know, taking his dog out for a walk or, you know, that could be you. That could be the agent that's dropped this off versus some, you know, major conglomerate that's doing all these massive mailings. Anyway. Now, you get referrals like nobody's business. And I like the answer you gave yesterday. I'll see if you give the same one. Somebody asked yesterday, how do you get referrals, Chris?
I asked for them.
Guys, that was the same answer he gave yesterday. I didn't even prep him. That's he asked for them. That's easy enough. How do you... Okay, let me read this question, make sure I'm going to say it right. The question reads, how does he work the referral? Does Chris have the client call the referral first, or what? What does he say to the referral? So talk us through... Now, not everybody's going to give you a referral, right?
Correct.
So there are times when, you know, you're going to fail in asking for referrals, and they're not going to give them to you. Some people could see that as a failure, but you just see it as running the numbers.
I see it, if you don't ask, it's a failure. If you ask, it's, you know, because it doesn't cost anything to ask them.
There you go. Just that easy. So when you're in the appointment, when do you ask?
I ask towards the end.
Towards the end, after you've gotten paperwork and all that done?
Correct. Because I want them to have seen that I've done a good job for them.
Okay, and that leads right into the next question. How do you ask?
I'll ask them. I'll say, I've taken good care of you. I've satisfied your needs. And they, they'll say yes, hopefully. And I'll say, well, do you have any family or friends that I can take care of in the same way? I'll say I will treat them with the same respect that I've treated you, and I will make sure they're taken care of, so their loved ones are not put in jeopardy of any financial jeopardy in their lives. And last night at my referral,
yeah.
If we're doing a great job, a lot of times they're gonna mention it. Last night she said she got up and left the room, and her husband is getting the check and everything, and she came back and she said, well, I just called my mother and my sister, and they won't meet with you too. I didn't even ask for this.
So the better job you do, the more likely it is they'll bring it up, and you don't have to.
That's right. I mean, that happens a lot. And
wow.
You treat them with, and I'm sure everyone here does, you treat them with respect, and you look out for their needs, then the referrals are going to come.
Now, you said yesterday, and this is another good question, do you deliver your policies?
Sometimes I deliver the policies. A lot of times, I mail them.
Hey, when you're writing $70,000 in a month, it's very hard to deliver your policies.
I don't have a lot of time to deliver them, but I always let them know. I'll say whenever your policy comes in, it'll come to me. Is it okay if I mail it to you, or would you rather me bring it by? Most of the time, they will say, just mail it to me. They're busy too, and they don't really have the time to bring it by. Normally, on my elderly clients, I take those by just because I don't want there to be any confusion.
Sure. Wow, it's really like the way you're talking. The next thing you say just brings up the next question that I had on my desk to ask you. But let me stay with the referrals for a second. Do you call them cold, or do you have your clients call them ahead of time?
No, I have my clients call them ahead of time.
Just every time?
Most of the time.
Sure.
Every time I try to get them to do that. And I'll even wait a day or so to give them an opportunity to call them. Because it gives me instant credibility.
Sure.
But in the times where they have not called, I'll just mention their name. I'll say, okay, you know, Ms. Johnson gave me your name and wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to listen to about this product. And you got to remember that even though they have not refinanced or purchased a house in 13 months, we've still got products for them.
That's right.
And we've got great products for any situation.
You know, that was a question that was coming is, well, what if somebody bought their mortgage 5 years ago? What are you selling them? Well, there's a whole list of products.
There's a ton of them. It depends on what their need is.
Okay. We didn't hammer the referral too tough, but I think we don't need to, because I think you keep it very simple. You just ask for the referrals. You get the client to call them ahead of time, and then you call, introduce yourself, and go from there.
A lot of times, just because they're happy with what you've done for them and everything's still really nice that night while you're there, ask them to call in. And because then they've expressed a need. They have a void in their financial situation, and you are filling that void. You are doing them a service. So they're appreciative of that, and they're going, you ask them, would you mind calling them out and just let them know I'll follow tomorrow, and they do.
Cool.
Like I said yesterday, I've had people have neighbors and family and friends at the appointment, and I sold it against it.
Is that something that you ask on the phone?
Well,
when you're booking the appointment?
And there's been some times where they said, yeah, we really need this. And we've talked to some people about it. And I said, you know what? I'll be there at 6:30 on Tuesday. If you have any people that you have been talking about it that also have the same need, why don't you have them over there? And I'll go ahead and explain it to all of you.
Wow.
And they say, okay.
So you're doing seminars.
That's fine. That situation is not going to come around all the time, but that does, it does come up from time to time.
Take advantage of it when you can.
Absolutely.
You mentioned yesterday, and this question is coming from somebody who wasn't in the sales meeting yesterday because they're at a distance. They're not local.
Okay.
So this was, it's cool that you mentioned this yesterday, and you already kind of touched on it briefly a second ago. What do you do? And now, number one, you said yesterday, true or false, you like selling older people?
True.
True. Why?
Because they realize the importance. They're not in the mentality, this couldn't happen to me. They know, just because it could happen to any of us, they are more aware, it could happen to me. They know the importance of it. They'll keep the policy. They'll pay the policy. They realize, this is probably going to cost me a lot of money before I ever come out there.
Mm.
I'm 68 years old. This is going to cost, this costs some money. And they know that. And they're financially responsible where they're going to make sure the payments are there because they don't want their children to have to bear their burden. And so some people, they'll see the older clients. And I've talked to some people and they get a lead with a 6-year-old and they don't even make the call. You give them to me, and I'll give you a 20-year-old lead.
It's funny. It's interesting that your first response to why you like talking to the older folks is not because the premiums are bigger. That wasn't your first response. Your first response was because they see a need. They see more of a need for it. And what that says to me, and I'm just breaking down what you said, what it says to me is you're thinking about your clients. You're not thinking about the paycheck.
Correct. That paycheck, of course, is nice. it doesn't suck to make the big paycheck. But we make really good money, and what we do is very satisfying because we're helping people. I've never had a death claim, but someone once told me the first death claim you ever deliver will be at that point you will realize why you're in this business.
That's true. I've delivered a couple, and I can tell you that is true. That's you go into the house and somebody's missing, and then you just hand them that $100,000 check, and they go, "Whoo!" You can just see the relief wash across their face because they were thinking, "How are we going to keep this together?" And man, it just brings it all together.
And there's been wives that had to sell jobs or husbands, and there's been people that had to remarry because they weren't prepared, and we're going and helping them. To allow them the options of their lives to not have to do anything, not to be forced to do anything.
Right.
That's great.
Now, when you're talking to folks over 70, What are you selling, typically?
Well, Home Certain you can't sell. I sell Master's Choice, you know, some presidential, but mostly, a lot of my clients aren't over 70. I do have a few, but most of them aren't. Most of them are a little, you know, in their 60s. Well, I mean, I have all ages, but I don't have a lot of, just because of the lead, I don't have a lot of young clients. They're in their, well, I say young. I'm in my 30s, and I hope I'm not too old. You know, I don't think I have really any under 30.
Okay. I've yesterday in the sales meeting, we kind of threw this out. I know Michelle Wallace has had great success in selling folks over the age of 65, 70. And we kind of threw it out yesterday to find out what people sell. And she said, you know what, she'll sell SecureMaster, or, you know, if they're between 71 and 75, she may even throw out a Term Trends if they're healthy enough to get approved. You know, there's Master Choice and Wealth Master. There's all types of those products, and that was what she was saying. I'm not saying this from me, because this agent that asked this question may say, well, Fitz, you've told me that before. I have, but I'm saying it from Michelle's perspective. She said this yesterday in a sales meeting of that's the kind of product she goes with. And again, it seems like everybody that's selling the older folks go with the approach of this person knows they need it. And most importantly, they did reply to that letter saying they want to buy.
You don't have to worry about selling them something that's not really the best thing for an older client. You don't have to worry about selling something that's really not the best thing for them because you know it's not, you can't afford, they can't afford it. They know it's going to be expensive. You need to offer them the best product for their situation. If they can't afford it, they need to tell you that. You don't need to assume they can't afford it.
Don't sell out of your pocketbook.
Right.
That's good.
Just sell them the best thing for them and for their family, not for you and not what you think they can afford.
Now, you said this week a husband and wife duo that you sold got approved. You were telling us this yesterday in a sales meeting. They got issued paid this week, and you'll see the commission check for that on Monday.
Correct.
What was their combined monthly premium?
It was a little over $700 a month.
$700. So you're not going in showing them the cheapest product. You're going in showing them what? What do you show them?
I'll go in. You know, if their mortgage, if they're in good health, when I sit down and talk to them, I'll say, you know, are there any health conditions I should know about? If they say no, they're in good health, I will, if they're of age for disability, I'll put the disability on there. I put return of premium on every product, mm-hmm. on every quote. I don't put disability on every quote just because it's getting tougher to get them approved. But if they qualify for it, if my impression is they qualify for it because of their age and because of their health, I quote them that and then let them tell me if they don't want it. But whatever age they are, now the clients I had last week were disability was not there. The house was $200,000. $200,000, return of premium, $700 a month.
Mm.
And that's what I offered them. And when you offer that to them, don't offer it to them and say, wow, well, okay, let's see how we can get this cheaper. Offer to them and say, you know what, I can get both of y'all insured for only $700 a month. Now let's go ahead and fill the application out, send that in. It's going to take a couple of weeks to get it approved, and then we'll, you know, it'll be done.
Hmm.
You know, of course, I say it a little bit differently, but you sell that policy at that price. If they can't afford it, they're going to tell you.
Hmm.
Don't assume that you see that. You see those numbers. Don't assume that they can't afford it. You just all of a sudden cut it back. Because,
right.
One, maybe they can't afford it, and maybe that is what they need.
Okay.
And then if they tell me they can't afford it, you know, the first thing I'll take off is return of premium before, you know, I reduce the death amount. I'll take the return of premium off.
And so you're selling off a laptop then?
Always off a laptop. Correct.
Always off a laptop. What would you recommend? Would you recommend the laptop, obviously?
Absolutely. I think it makes a world of difference because it gives you, you're not going in there with a bunch of papers and look like you're fumbling around with papers, and I personally think it looks more professional and it gives you more options.
Sure.
You're looking right there on the computer, and if you need to change numbers, just a couple clicks and you change the numbers.
Sure.
Now, not everyone is going to buy the first thing you quote them, but you should have the confidence that this is a great product because it is. I mean,
right.
I tell them when I go through my presentation, I tell them about Fidelity. You know, Fidelity, you know, they've been around for a long time. Old Mutual's been around since 1845. You know, I go through all of that, and then I go over, explain the product to them, and I go over the pricing. And if they're getting return of premium, tell them the benefit of that. Scroll down. You know, if you keep this for 15 years, you're going to get $50,000 back in 15 years.
That's pretty strong. You know, and just as a side note, I know Beth Preston and Jason Myers are two agents here in Dallas. They both went out to Los Angeles this past weekend. It sort of worked as a team in a lot of senses. And Beth made a comment about Jason. She said, you know, they actually sat in an appointment together. And she said, I knew what he was doing, but he had the laptop, and I thought he was shopping other companies. She said, and I knew he wasn't, but I thought he was. Because, you know, they had gotten a comment of, we want to see what other companies have. And, you know, his response was the typical Ralph response. I got, you know, half a dozen companies here. Which one did you want to look at? And he starts running through the numbers. And, I mean, anyway, it's just, you can do that sort of thing when you have a laptop. And, guys, it's very simple to buy a laptop. You may say, I don't have $2,000 to buy a laptop. Well, you know what? Crap, I don't either. I don't want to spend $2,000 on a laptop. What I'm going to do instead is spend $300 or $400 on a refurbished laptop. And if you need somebody, you know, to take care of that, we even got a guy here in Addison that will overnight it to you. Of course, if your money's good, he'll do it. So it's a good deal. Get the laptop. We recommend it. What is the best time that you find in calling and setting up appointments?
I call all day long, every day.
I knew that was your answer.
That's the best time for me.
You said you like to call on Sunday nights because people are home.
I do. People are always, not always, most of them come home Sunday nights. You reach them. Now, I stop calling during the week at 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:15-ish. Depends on how my role is going. On Sundays, I stop at about 8. I mean, I try to be respectful of people's time, but you just got to always keep in your mind, you're not bothering these people. You're giving them something that they've asked for. And I carry my leads with me everywhere I go. If I happen to go somewhere and that's a no-show, I sit out in front of their house and make other appointments. If you're making calls all the time, whatever you're doing is not ever going to be wasted, because making appointments is, you know, it's making money for you and taking your clients out. I call all the time. I mean, some people say they don't call Fridays. Well, I call, you know, Friday evening, because there's just going to be days, maybe normally on a Friday it's not good, but there are going to be some Fridays where you're going to hit. So
right.
I call all the time.
You never stop. You said yesterday you work 20, 25 hours a week, but that's what you consider work is when you're sitting across the table from somebody.
Right.
Not when you're on the phone. You said your kids always see you on the phone.
Right. They'll tell people, my dad is always on the phone. And it's just, I just think that, I mean, because you can, you know, we went to the park last night, and the kids were at the park, and I'm sitting up at the bench making calls. I mean, you can make some calls, and you can put the phone down, go play with the kids, and come back and make some more calls. Because there's always, if you keep your leads and you stick with your leads, there's always going, you're either going to have referrals or you're going to have leads that are, you know, months old that you're still calling on. So once you've been doing it for a while, you're gonna have a lot of leads, because there's always gonna be some leads that you didn't reach that particular week to save them. I mean, just keep calling them. I mean, when I first started this, I called on one and I gave up on him. But it just so happens it was a friend of a friend. It just so happens I had a lead by this person. Well, I didn't want to bother him because, you know, I knew this one of his friends. He died.
Holy cow.
And he may have had life insurance. I did approach him, and I did try to set the appointment, but I gave up because he didn't have time. Well, that's not going to happen anymore. We'll keep calling and keep calling until we meet and you see how important this is.
So some people would say, well, Fitz, I couldn't make calls last night because, you know, I had to take my – yeah, it was my night to have the kids. I had to take them to the park and play with them. You could use that excuse too, but you say, I play with them, and then I make a couple calls, and I play with them.
I mean, every night's fun not to have a kid.
Well, I don't want to ignore Wednesday. I've got probably another 10 questions to ask Chris. I want to get to Wednesday because there is a reason we had her on this call. Wednesday, are you still with us?
Still here.
You taking notes?
Absolutely.
One thing that I think is, see, here's what I believe. I believe that just like all the books tell you, that 1% of what you do in sales is mechanics, and 99% is attitude. And what we just heard from Chris are the mechanics. But what you also heard from Chris is attitude. And I think that's key. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Wednesday was in our sales meeting, and I won't put you on the spot either Wednesday unless you bring it up, but there was just some crap going on. That's the best way of saying it. There was just, everybody has crap that goes on in their life. It just happens. There's nothing you can do about it. Life is life. It's always going to be there. And it affected your production one week, right?
It really did.
It did. And you came in sales meeting, and you know what? We have a fairly transparent sales meeting, guys. We had probably 55 people in there yesterday. It was packed. But, you know, we're all buddies in there. We're all, you know, rooting for each other. And Wednesday said with tears in her eyes, she said, you know what? It really affected me. But here's what I did. And what did you do? You know what I'm trying to ask?
You mean when I was having a difficult week?
Yeah, it was about correcting your attitude. How'd you get out of that funk?
Eventually, I broke down and spoke with my manager, who is incredible, Ralph Simpson,
yep.
And just let him know that I was struggling, finally, because at first, you know, I'm just a really private person for Ralph Simpson.
Yep.
And just let him know that I was struggling, finally, because at first, you know, I'm just a really private person, you know, just didn't want to share what was really going on and just didn't tell him anything. And finally I broke and just told him. And he gave me a really good pep talk, helped me to regroup. I took a long walk around the block, cried, and just pulled it back together and said, I never want to experience that kind of week again.
And let me just say this, because I personally believe Ralph is phenomenal. And I've said that to him, and I've said it behind his back, and I say it wherever I go. I think Ralph is phenomenal, but this isn't I'm not gonna say that Ralph is the only one that can do this. It just happens he's your manager, guys. There's a point that she said there where she broke down and spoke to her manager, because that's somebody who's in a position that can help. And have you ever heard the phrase, Wednesday, confession is good for the soul?
Absolutely.
Just, you know, when you are carrying something around and you feel like you're the only one that can deal with it, when you break down and let somebody else know, all of a sudden, just letting them know, whether they give you any answers or not, just letting somebody else know, let somebody else carry that burden, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what he did, and then he kind of said, okay, here's a little pep. Here's what you need to do. And you turned right around and did what? You did something with it.
I just regrouped and just hit it. Just ran back out there and got busy again, because I love talking with our clients. I love what I do. I'm extremely passionate about what I do. And just getting back into the flow, getting some activity going, and immediately the money just started rolling in, as usual.
Just that easy, isn't it?
It is that easy.
You know, it's funny, guys, and we said this in sales meeting yesterday. And just here's a little sales tip. I think you guys ought to come. If you're at a distance, you ought to pop into our Dallas sales meeting at least once every now and then, just to get a glimpse of everything that goes on in there and the excitement that's there and the energy. But last week, Wednesday stood up as a producer for the week, and she said she had written $8,000. And you made the declaration. What'd you say you were going to end up doing by the end of the week?
I expected to break 10,000 before the week was over.
Which was, and so sales meeting is Tuesday morning. Guys, what she was saying is, by the end of business Wednesday, I'm going to be at $10,000. And Heather called your name out as the number two producer for the week with how much production?
I think it was like 10,252. You have to speak it into existence. You have to speak it in.
Man, that's so true. And Bruno and I were just talking about that this morning. Last week's call was one of the periodic sermons that I may give, But last week's call, I was talking about begin with the end in mind. And if you do, the stuff that happens along the way seems less significant. Not necessarily insignificant, but less significant because you know it's not taking you off the trail of to that end point that you're trying to reach. And that's what you were at. You say, hey, it's Tuesday, I'm at 8,000. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I'm going to end up with over 10,000 this week.
I'm expecting a miracle.
And you got it. What production have you done this week so far?
A little over 5,000, and before the day is over, I'm hoping to be around, I don't know, 8.
8? So that puts you just shy of 20,000 after 2 weeks.
That's not enough.
That's not enough to catch Chris this month, is what he's saying.
He is awesome. He is totally awesome.
Now, Wednesday, you are turning good production, and I think, I personally, this is my personal opinion, I may have folks disagree with me. Actually, I have people disagree with me all the time. But I personally believe one of the big keys to Wednesday's success is just her attitude, her demeanor. It just doesn't seem like anything's going to be able to get Wednesday down, though she just admitted that stuff does. But it just doesn't seem like anything's going to get her down, and it's contagious. Everybody wants to be around Wednesday. Everybody wants to know what she's got to say, and so that's what you're seeing with your clients. And you said you've actually sat down on the floor and let the dog lick you. And
all the time. That's every day. I mean, that's such a common thing now that I keep a change of clothes in the car when I go meet clients.
Because you said if the dog likes you,
the people like you. Absolutely. You kiss on the dogs, you kiss on the babies, you got to sell.
Put some peanut butter in your pocket.
I keep toys in my briefcase, a couple of soggy treats, whatever. I'm prepared for every situation.
Just keep a raw hot bone in your briefcase.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, I, guys, again, Wednesday has this just contagious, infectious attitude, and infectious in a good way. It just permeates the room. When she walks in, the room lights up, and I think that is a big key to the reason she's seeing success with us. And now you're not like a seasoned insurance agent. You were a college student until just recently when you graduated and got rid of that.
Right. I've been doing this just about two months, just a little bit over 2 months now, and didn't know anything about insurance at all, nothing. I remember when I first met Heather, that was one of the conversations. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't know what I'm doing, but whatever I'm doing is working.
There's two lessons there. One, if you're new to us and you don't know anything about insurance, rest assured, neither does Wednesday. She's seeing pretty good success. But two, if you're coming on board with us and you have incredible experience in the insurance business, maybe you ought to forget some of it. Would you agree, Wednesday?
I would agree. It was the first month of knowing absolutely nothing. I think I did just shy of 19,000. Knowing nothing. I may know just slightly more than that now, and I'm hoping to, you know, do about 50,000 this month.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't learn too much more, okay?
Right, I don't want to learn anything other than how to play with the dogs, play with the baby, eat menudo.
Eat menudo, ugh. Whew.
You learn to eat that stuff when they're writing checks for you, trust me.
Phone script real quick. You said it yesterday, and I mean, it's a real quick phone script. There's nothing much to it, but give it to us just real quick.
Okay. I say, good afternoon, this is Chris White with Mortgage Protection. How are you today?
I'm great.
That's great. I'm calling you. Recently you filled out a form requesting information on Mortgage Protection. Remember filling that out?
Sure.
I say, that's great. What I'm calling you for is to try to set up a time to bring this information out to you. It's going to take us about 15 minutes to go over the information, go over the pricing, just to see if it's what you and your wife are looking for. How's Tuesday at about 6 o'clock?
Sounds great. Let me just kind of... Because I wanted you to do that because I wanted to say something about this. You know, my dentist never really got to know me too well before he dug around in my mouth.
Right. That's right. you get to know when you get there. I mean, the phone is an important part of our business, and the business we're in is about numbers.
Right.
You make enough calls, you go out and write enough application, the applications that don't get approved or the few that will cancel are going to be canceled out because it's numbers. You put enough up, you throw enough up against the wall, they're going to stick.
Right.
And, I mean, just like you were saying, this kind of off the subject, what you were saying earlier, what Wednesday was saying, I think it's important to talk to your manager, especially when you're doing bad, but I talk to Ralph daily when I'm doing bad, when I'm doing good. He's such an awesome support.
Right.
You know, and it's just important to talk to him and have thick skin and know that your manager is there to help better you.
Sure. And you booked that, you were saying yesterday in the sales meeting, you booked that appointment, and it's really, hey, listen, I'm gonna come by, and I'm going to show you the benefits, the prices, and to see if it's what you and your wife are looking for. And that's really unassuming. There's no point in trying to get them to know them on the phone, but even in a home, you know, there's really, I mean, they're pretty upfront with you, right? They don't hide stuff from you. They tell you stuff.
No, they, you know, we'll sit down and talk because I keep it on a conversational level, and I'm not quizzing them, and I'm not, you know, giving them a third degree. We're just talking, you know, talking like a couple of new friends. You know, I'm not, I'm there to take care of the needs of them. And when I set the appointment, I'm not, you know, setting it up as a salesman coming out to talk to them. I'm setting it up as someone bringing them information that they wanted. And when I come out, I'm there to help them along the process.
Now, what if somebody on the phone, that's another question that's come in, what if somebody on the phone says they don't need it or they're not interested anymore, or sometimes people say, I'm sorry, I sent it in. How do you get past that when you're on the phone with these people and they're just trying to give some excuse or on why they aren't interested, or they are, you know, too busy this weekend, they can't find 15 minutes? How do you get around that sort of stuff?
I'll say, you know, I can appreciate that. You always empathize with them. Say, you know, what has changed since you filled this form out? Has something changed? And sometimes they'll say, well, you know, I just don't think I need it. I've talked to people and don't need it. I say, you know what, that's great that you're talking with people. This doesn't cost anything to talk to me. Why don't we get together Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and then we'll go over it. That way you know for sure. You know about the product. You know about what it has in it, and to see if it fits your needs, not someone else's. You know, I go back to the appointment. Sometimes they'll say, you know what, I recently already bought something. And I say, that's great. I'm glad that you're trying to prepare your family for future needs. And at that point, I'll ask them if they remember who they bought it from. Because I do not, me personally, I do not want to participate compete or take business away from even with NAA.
Right.
And I'll ask them, and if they say, you know what, I got something with, I can't remember another agency, you know, some other insurance company that I don't write with, I'll say, it's great. This is an opportunity for you to compare some prices, compare, and make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. Because I went out and I had one client that did that, and I went out with them knowing that they'd already purchased something from someone else. And the person that went out wasn't, of course, with NAA. They didn't sell them the right product. They didn't even have enough to pay the mortgage off. And, you know, they got it for $40 or $50 a month. I left and they paid more, paid $120 a month, but they had what they needed. Not what the guy or whoever it was just trying to make some money off of.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be some people that aren't interested. There's going to be some people that hang up on you.
Right.
And if they hang up on you, call them in 30 days. They don't remember you. Put that aside. You just keep calling them. They express an interest at some point. 90% of the time, if they hang up on you, they say, I don't want it anymore, and you'll get off the phone. It's not because they don't want it, because they don't have time right then. So call them back when they do have time.
Right. You have to figure out, I mean, in your mind, mentally, psychologically, you have to figure out why they're really saying that. You don't necessarily have to dig to figure it out, but you just have to know somebody's saying this because of this. You know, Beth Preston came to me yesterday, and she said a client she had just written wanted to cancel. And I said, I'd bet you $100 the reason they want to is they're scared of that check going through this week.
That's
right. The check you collect, they're scared of it hitting the account this week. So you just have to, you know, you eventually start learning those things of why people are saying and doing the things they're doing, and it allows to kind of get around some of those things. Let me go to...
Sure.
And, what do you say to overcome that?
Well, and my advice is the best way to overcome an objection is not to get it. So before they give that is, you know, filling this application out, we're just going to send this in just to make sure that we can get the policy for you. it's going to take a week, 2 weeks to get this approved. So while we're doing that, you guys are going to be able to sit down and talk about it, make sure it's exactly what you guys are wanting to do. And at that point, the first time we met, it needed to be in person, just so we have space with the name. But now we can talk over the phone if you need to. So while you're thinking about this over the next 2 weeks, underwriting is going to be approving your policy for you. They're going to be looking over and making sure that there's nothing stopping it. So this way, it's going to give you time to think about it. Mm-hmm. And I say something like that before they've given the objection. Because before they've even said anything, I've addressed that. So you know what? If I were you, I would want to think about this. I would not have to want to make a decision sitting here tonight in front of somebody. I would want to have an opportunity to talk with my family about it. So you address it before they say anything about it.
And you also, you've mentioned on a previous call, and you said it yesterday in a sales meeting, you do quite a number of draft on issues, and that kind of takes the pressure off as well, doesn't it?
Right. They're not, you know, I tell them, I say, you know, you're not giving me any money tonight. I'm going to get, you know, and giving me a voided check, you're not giving me any money tonight, so you're going to have time to think about it without it costing you a penny. You know, and I tell them, you know what, if within that 2 weeks, if you decide you don't want to do it, we won't proceed. We'll just, you know, stop right there.
Easy
but
enough.
90% of the time, 95% of the time, they're not going to call you and say, you know what, we don't want to do it. Or if they call, what they're wanting is they want some surety that they've done the right thing, and they want you to tell them again, you know, this is a great thing for you, this is why.
There are a couple of administrative things that we need to talk about in that draft on issue, because it was brought up yesterday in a sales meeting. I know there are some questions brought up about it, and I'll just touch on some things. When you're doing a draft on issue, guys, and this is something you can do with F&G on the home certain product, when you're doing a draft on issue, number one, that client is not conditionally covered during the underwriting period because money has not been officially received by the company to hold them liable for that policy. So if the client were to die during that time, the insurance company is under no obligation to finish underwriting, issue the policy, and pay the death claim. So be aware of that on the draft on issue. They're not conditionally covered, so don't pass out that conditional receipt. Number two, and this was a question that came from one of our managers, and he's been getting it from a couple of his agents, and so we just want to clarify, when submitting the application on a draft on issue, how and where is it noted? Is there any additional forms that you need? And the answer came from Melissa Bruno, who's Bruno's wife. She's here in the office. She scrubs apps all day and knows the ins and outs now. She says, when it's a draft on issue, please write, and she wrote in quotes here, draft on issue. Please write that in the box where you would put payment in exchange for conditional receipt. That's on page 2 of 8 of the application. In that box, you just need to write draft on issue. You don't need to put $100 because there's no actual money being exchanged for that conditional receipt, but you can put draft on issue, and that's how they denote that. And she says that, along with the voided check on the draft form that's in the back of the application, is all we need to draft at issue. So thank you, Mel, and thank you, Jim Richter, for asking that question. I didn't put you on the spot there. That was a great question. Another question, I know we're running over, guys, so if you got to jump off, that's fine, but there's still some more good questions. Risky to be calling referrals without first getting an approval from the referral to call them. Is Chris always getting the approval first? And before you answer, Chris, let me say this. Guys, I wouldn't allow myself to be too paranoid about the do not call laws. You're a small fish. They're looking to bring down companies like AT&T. They're looking to bring down companies that are advertising satellite dishes. They're not looking to bring down somebody who's trying to sell insurance because one of their friends gave them the referral. So it's, you know, don't be too paranoid about it. I don't think you're at too much risk. But officially, it is under that. Are you getting approval, Chris, from the referral before you call them?
Well, I do try to get the approval, but I'm not trying to get the approval because of the do not call list. I'm trying to get it because it gives me more credibility. But at the times where they have not called yet, And they're saying, you know what, I'm not going to have time. I mean, there's been a couple times where they're going out of town and they couldn't call first. Well, I'm still going to call them, and I'll just say, you know, John Smith gave me your name and, you know, your neighbor, and wanted me to call you and see if you had any needs that I could help you with. And even if they're on the do not call list, if the friend gave them the name, they may get mad at the friend, but they're not getting mad at you.
Right.
Most of the time they'll say, you know, they're interested in what you're talking about. You know, well, if John did this, I wonder what it is. And
right.
They listen to. I haven't had anyone in the entire time I've done this ever get upset with me about a do not call list.
But I mean, I'm not belittling at all the person that asked that question, because there's several people that probably think that. But it's along the same mentality of, well, aren't you scared to fly? Because I mean, planes crash.
Right.
It's
a great question. I didn't mean to belittle it. But
no, you didn't. You didn't at all. I think I did, and I don't mean to. But it's like, yeah, planes are going to crash. Yeah, somebody may get upset on the do not call list, but the times of that actually happening are so few. It's not like you're going through a phone book calling people. You got a referral from a friend of theirs.
Well, it's still not a cold call.
Yeah, it's not a cold call. You've basically been introduced to them, and you're just calling them. I know under the do not call list it falls under that jurisdiction, but I wouldn't let it get you too paranoid about it. Struggling and want to go on an appointment or two with them to learn the ropes. To the $70,000 per month production. Robert, I think you got it figured out, pal. Just keep going to Phoenix. let's see. Hey, when the applications that you're doing at Drafted Issue, are you ever concerned that people will cancel due to no financial commitment?
No. That hasn't been an issue for me. I mean, there have been, like I said before, there have been some times where someone has called and you know, we've decided not to do it for whatever reason. But that's very, very rare. Most of the time, the financial... Because I tell people, I say, you know what? Insurance is designed to give you peace of mind. It's to take the burden off of your shoulders to take care of your family's financial needs after your death, and put them on our shoulders and let us take care of that. I said, but insurance is not going to give you peace of mind if we're not getting something within your budget. I said, you need to get the most insurance... to fit your needs, but stay in your budget. And I've addressed that at the appointment. As far as the doing the voided check, it's letting them know they do have opportunity to think about it. And if else, you know what? You know, if I'm going to get a check from them, first month's check from them, they say, well, I want to think about it. That's great. Whenever you get your policy in hand, you got 20 days to look over it. That's a 20-day free look. You don't like anything about it, I'll get your money back for you. I mean, look at that.
That's right. I got an email here from an agent. He says he ran into an issue, ran into a case where he wrote draft on issue, and F&G said we need to write draft initial premium. Which do you do, Chris?
I was told by Fidelity that we need to put per client draft initial premium.
Okay. Per client draft initial premium.
I mean, because I was told that it doesn't have... And I think it really just depends on whatever underwriter's looking at it. If it doesn't have per client, some underwriters will say, well, do they know about it? We're going to need them saying it's okay to do this. So I put per client draft initial premium.
Gotcha. Okay. That's the answer on that one. All right. What do you have? Application for a referral with a new mortgage to document the mortgage within 13 months. That's actually a question in the application. And I'm so far removed from writing on these applications on a weekly basis. I can't remember the name of the page, but it's the number 11 question on that page. It says, have you closed on a mortgage in the last 13 months, yes or no? And
a personal history page.
On a personal history page?
Where it asks, have you scuba dived and all that?
Yes.
And you just put that question at the bottom. And I put, you know, I put finance or refinanced house or purchase, whatever, 5105, $100,000 with Bank One. I mean, very short and sweet. I mean, I'm not writing a book. I mean, all they want to know is, and some people said that they can't find the address. You know, then they, well, I've never been asked. As long as I've put with Bank One, the amount, when it was done, I've never had to send in the address to Bank One.
Right. Pop through. This was going to be cheap. I mean, what if they didn't think it was going to be expensive?
Even the clients that know that it's going to be expensive, there have been clients that have, said, oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to be that expensive. And you just got to, that's a lot of money, and I can appreciate that. But the benefit it's going to give your family is this. You're going to have a lot less cancellations, a lot less people back out if you're not, or if you try not to approach it in just as a salesperson mentality, but as someone that, that is really trying to fit their needs within their budget and can appreciate that most people, unless you're Fitzgerald, is on a budget. Most people are. But I've just addressed that. I said, I can appreciate that. It's a lot of money. And then there's been some times that it's not so much at that age. I've asked them, what can you afford? What are you looking at spending? And they may say $20 a month. Well, that would be great if I could do that for you. But this is what it's going to take to take care of your need for you. And sometimes you have to lower the amount. And I can't stress enough that is the last resort, and you advise against that. That, if they've got a $100,000 mortgage and they can only afford $40,000, explain them to the rest of their family, but still having $40,000 of the coverage is better than no coverage.
And you said yesterday something that I think is a good way to wrap up. You think the appointments that you book, there's no reason why you shouldn't close 90% or better.
Absolutely not. As I said yesterday, if you're not closing at a high percent, get with your manager, because you're either in your presentation or somewhere along the way, you're saying something that's hindering you.
Sure.
Your client. There's no reason that we shouldn't all be in the 90% closing rate, because this is good stuff.
Yeah. And there's a good point that Chris said there, is that Chris doesn't close everybody, guys. The great Chris White, the great Ralph Simpson, the great Wednesday Jackson, they're not closing everybody. There are times they will not close a client, and they're okay with that. But what they know is they have great products. We have great leads to go sell these products to. It's just a good thing that we're doing. And these top producers all seem to be very convinced of that. And I think that may be a little tip. There's that 99% attitude, 1% mechanics. 99%, if you're convinced that you're good at what you do, even if you have to fool yourself into it initially, if you're convinced that you're good at what you do and that you have a good product and that you're working with good companies that will do well for the clients, man, there is just no reason that you can't screw things up and still write $10,000 a week in production. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, Wednesday, for tuning into this call. I know it's, we're almost half an hour past time, but I don't know that anybody is going to object to running over today. So if you do, I apologize, because it's not respectful of your time, but this beautiful thing about conference calls, you can just hang up if you're tired of listening. But frankly, I think those who tuned in got something great from it, guys. Thank you again, Chris and Wednesday, for serving the team. Thank you, Ralph Simpson, for having incredible people to be able to tie into this conference call and share us some of their secrets. Guys, we're finishing up. We're 40% through with the last month of the second quarter of the year. That's an easy way of saying, that's a complicated way of saying, rather, that we're almost through halfway through the year. So how are you doing on your goals for the year? If you don't have goals for the year, now is a good time to establish them, because you got 6 months left to achieve those goals, and you have a little better guess of what you're going to actually be able to do, so your goals can be a little more realistic even. But push. If you don't know where the finish line is, you cannot run the race. We encourage you guys to run that race hard and make it happen for you and your family. You guys are awesome, and we believe that every day. We're here to help if you need it. Don't hesitate to call. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.